prosperity. Several of you were interested in prosperity, financial enhancements into your personal lives. And the scripture has so much to say about prosperity. And a topic of this nature is so big. It's like when we tried to talk about relationships in like 20 minutes, we discover all we could do is hit on a few areas, and that's it. And that's almost what prosperity is about today. And so you had an opportunity today to look at a video clip about God's pot. You had an opportunity today to see a skit about a husband and a wife that God had blessed. And when it was time to bring it to the house of the Lord, as they had agreed, they decided to be dishonest with God. And so one of the foundations of prosperity is that we have to know and be certain that God has given it to you. See, the problem is we really think, and this is why our thinking gets all warped, is that we think it comes from someone else. But if you really know it comes from God, and that if it's going to come back again, it's going to come from God. If it's going to come back again and again and again, it's going to come from God. How do you chop off the main source that supplies you? How do you do it? The problem is we don't see it that way. We don't see it that way. I was sharing with a couple a little earlier today, and we were talking about, you know, some financial resources coming from a particular organization. And I share with this couple, I'm like, don't focus completely on that, because God has so many other ways of bringing things to you and for you. And God is not limited by north, south, east, and west. God is not limited by up, down, and around. There's no limitations as to how God can bless you. Now, when I talk about prosperity, you know, I can't help but include my mother in this message. Throughout my life, I've seen my mother give and give and give and give and give. And little does she know that she's probably one of the most prosperous individuals in here. Okay? Little does she know. Most prosperous because God has always provided. God has always protected her. God has always come up with ways to get things to her and for her. So when we talk about prosperity, we need to understand where we fall into the equation and what we can do. And so I have so much to share with you in such a short period of time. And so you're going to have to bear with me. Grab your pen, grab a piece of paper, and get ready to take some quick notes, because we're going to move very fast in this message. So this morning I want to speak to you about God's formula for prosperity. God's formula for prosperity. God has a formula, and we find that formula introduced in the life of a man named Hezekiah. So we're going to be looking at 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. But before we go there, I just want to give you just some ingredients that we find in the Word of God concerning this great formula, God's great formula for me and for you to be prosperous. The Bible just talks to us in Proverbs 18:16. You're going to have to write these down and look at them later. But this is probably for someone that you've been in situations where you need prosperous. You need to be prosperous. You need to see God do some things in your life. In Proverbs 18:16, the scripture talks about your gifts and your talents making room for you. And so real quickly, just to hit on that, that God has already put in you the ability for you to prosper just with the very gifts and the talents that he has already given you. The tragedy is that so many of us, we aren't using them. And so some of you right here in this room, you got some great abilities in you, but you're not putting them to use to allow it to be used for the further the kingdom of God and God's advancement on your life. In Proverbs 13:22, the Bible says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. And so there are some wicked people out there today that are building up all of their wealth. But there is going to time come in your life where God is going to make it available to you just because of your faithfulness to him. The Bible also said, and Jesus said it very clearly, Jesus said that I came that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. John 10:10. So Jesus himself even talked about a wholesome life, a wholesome life filled with abundance. And you say, well, Pastor, why would God give us abundance? Well, he give you abundance so you can be a blessing to others. Your prosperity and your ability to receive wealth is not just for you. If God bless me, the church will be blessed. If God bless me, you will be blessed. You can't take the blessings of God and keep it all to yourself. The tragedy is that some of you won't be blessed by God because God already knows in advance that if he bless you, you will not give him his part of the pie. Amen. You won't give him his part of the pie. He already knows in advance. You can't trick him. As Ananias and Sapphira, they tried to fool God. And we know the results of them fooling God. They die. Real quickly, in 2 Corinthians 9:6, the Bible says, he that soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. And perhaps today there is someone in the room, you have been sowing sparingly, so you've been reaping sparingly. But if you truly are in agreement with God on prosperity of your life, you are purposing your life to begin to sow bountifully to God so you can also reap bountifully. In Luke 6:38, the Bible talks about giving, and it shall be given unto us, good measures, pressed down, shaken together, and running all over. And it talks about giving, it shall be given unto you, good measures, pressed down, running over, and man as man will give. Now the reason why the blessings have to be pressed down is because the blessings keep coming and you keep having to make more room for your blessings. When God blesses you, it is often in abundance and it's designed, obviously, to first take God into consideration and then bless others. And then then bless others. I already have in my mind who I'm going to bless when my next breakthrough comes. See, you have to already plan. If you don't plan in advance, first of all, you ain't operating by faith. See, some of you aren't even thinking, well, when my next million arrive, this is what I'm going to do. Some of you, so God ain't even in your equation. When you begin to think about how you're going to bless God, then God is looking at an individual like, now that's somebody that I can trust. But when you're thinking about the pie arriving, I'm going to pay this creditor off. I'm going to take care of the lawn guy. I'm going to take care of the family vacation. I'm going to take care of everybody else. But God doesn't show up in the equation. How can you think about prosperity, people of God, when God can't even trust you? If all you have is $100 and God can't trust you with $100, how do you think you can get that God can do a supernatural work and allow $1,000 or $100,000 to come into your hands? How do you see God is in control of it? It is not the person on the job that is signing a check. Stop looking at who's signing a check and look at the person that gives the organization the ability to continue on in the marketplace to allow you to have employment. Then we find out in 3 John 1 and 2, John issues a prayer to us. John said, I pray that you will prosper as your soul also prosper. Then we find in Malachi. Malachi raises a question. And he's talking about the pie again. He raises the question. Malachi questioned to every one of us here. Guess what his question? He said, will a man or a woman, okay, will a man or a woman rob God? The tragedy today is that so many of us here, we are thieves. We're thieves. We rob the very person that's given us everything that we need. And God has blessings already waiting to bring it down to you. But we've been holding back from God, and it's holding back your prosperity. It's holding back your prosperity. Some of you got needs next year that you have no clue how you're going to address them, but God already has it all worked out. But you have to make sure that God gets his piece of the pie. Amen. Because, see, what happened in the story here, this is how you make sure you never get in the position that this gentleman got into. You can never put God at the back of the line. Because if your budget is like mine and so many others, that as you go down the list, you start running out. So if you don't put God at the front of, see what happens when you put God at the front of the list, it is amazing how what you have left begins to stretch out. So perhaps today you've been scratching your head and even your financial consultant been looking at your books and saying, I don't know how you're doing. I don't know how you're going to figure this out. Perhaps the solution is to put God at the front and let God take care of the rest. Amen. So Malachi says, the Lord promised that if you don't rob him, the Lord promised to open up the windows of heaven and pour down a blessing more than what you can bear here on earth. And I'm going to go on to our message, but I have to share this. Because it's a testimony, and testimonies is designed to be shared so others can be encouraged. In 2009, the IRS decided to audit our family finances. When they got into the audit, they said, well, we just don't want 2009, but we want to audit you 2008. And 2007, they were concerned about our giving. They say this can't be right. They're concerned about investment. This can't be right. And so we went through a whole year process with them, been dragged through the mud. But in 2011. God showed his presence in that audit. And in that audit, every year that we were being audited, they had to give us a refund. So what God took, what God took the Goliath that had been taunting us for months after month after month. If you ever been through an IRS audit, it's not nice. Month after month after month after month. God took our Goliath, took his head off, and then after everything was over, after everything is over, I get a letter from them saying you won't have an audit for the next 3 or 4 years. It was almost like we learned that we can't touch you. We learned that we can't fool around with you. Now, so God took the very thing that was seeking to intimidate us and blessed us. The very thing that could have caused us additional money ended up being our blessing. And this is why the scripture says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. But little did we know, no one ever thinks about when you're going through an audit that God will use the IRS to bless you. If I had put together a list of everybody that could possibly be a blessing to me, the IRS would never appear on the list. But when you focus on God and put God first and foremost in your life, he can do it. My wife and I, we sat back and we watched this thing unfold. In fact, it unfolds so fast that not only did they bless us, but but the accountant found out that the IRS had violated their own rules on us. And as a result, they were anxiously waiting. Get it in. We need to pay you. We need to pay you. Get it in. Get it in. Get it in. So God turned the whole situation around. Everybody seems to be intimidated by the IRS. If someone stood up in here and said, I work for the IRS, we would probably give them a frown. Amen. Anybody in here work for the IRS? No. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. So let's move on. Turn with me to 2 Kings, and we're going to park there, and we'll wrap up right there. 2 Kings, God's formula. God has a formula for your prosperity. And we find this formula in the story of Hezekiah. Hezekiah is unique to all of the prophets. Hezekiah is a man that was on the verge of dying. You won't find this nowhere else in scripture, but in the life of Hezekiah, that his death date was already set. And this same man went to God. And the scripture says that God extended his life. You see, prosperity has more to do with, first of all, if you're going to prosper, if you're going to get promotions, if you're going to advance, you got to be alive. Amen. Amen. You got to live first. You know, if you ain't breathing, if you ain't able to operate and move on your own, you can't make any money. You can't be blessed. So Hezekiah pleased with God. And the scripture says God extended his life. But there are some unique things about Hezekiah and his life. And we're going to look at him real quickly here as we look at God's formula for prosperity. 2 Kings chapter 18. The Bible says In the third year of Hosea, son of Eli, king of Israel, Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. The Bible says he was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. Notice this here, verse 3. He did what was right in whose eyes? In the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. He removed the high places, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah pole. He broke it into pieces, in the pieces of the bronze snake that Moses had made, for up to that time the Israelites had been burning incense to it. It was called Nishatah. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord. Who did he trust in? He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no more like him among all the kings of Judea, either before him or after him. He made a move for God. He held fast to the Lord and did not cease to follow him. He kept the commands the Lord had given Moses, and the Lord was with him, and he was prosperous or successful in whatever he undertook. He rebelled against the king of Ezra, and he did not serve him. From the watchtower to the fortified city, he defeated the Philistines as far as Gaza and its territory. May the Lord God have a blessing to the reading of the word of God. The life of Hezekiah and his work for God today provides us with a formula for prosperity. How many here, just so I want to make sure I'm talking to the right people and maybe I showed up at the wrong place, how many of you here interested in prosperity? Just want to make sure I'm in the right, am I in the right place at the right time? Okay. So we're going to talk about God's formula for prosperity. Watch how this story unfolds. The formula for prosperity for me and for you, as we look in the life of Hezekiah, is that we have to make a determination to worship. You have to be determined to worship. He determined to do the right thing in the sight of God. Look at verse 3. He was determined to do the right thing in the sight of God. You notice in the video clip that there was no determination to do the right thing in the sight of God. And so as a result, this man ended up empty. This man ended up not having enough. But Nehemiah found out that the formula for his prosperity was in doing what was right in the eyes of God. Did you know that God sees everything? God see us out. God see how we live, how we give more to a waitress or a waiter than we give to God. Some of the waiters in our counties, in our cities, get more from us than God. Some of us eat out every day and we take care of those, but when it comes down to giving of our time and our talents to God, we give to others more than we give to God. So Nehemiah makes a determination to worship. He was determined to do the right thing in the sight of God. We see here that he made a mark for God. And if we are not careful, we can lose our ability to prosper as a result of us not willing to do the right thing. We know what the scripture says, given it shall be given unto you. We know that the scripture says that God loves a cheerful giver. But Nehemiah gives us the first piece that he adds to his formula. He tells us that there has to be a determination to worship God. You see, we worship God in every part of our life. We worship God in our givings. We worship God in our time. We worship God in our talents. That's a formula. That's a formula there. So you worship God in so many areas. But here we see here, based on verse 3, the first piece of chemical that is added into the formula jar is that the scripture says he did, verse 3, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. What is right? When we look at our finances, what is right? The Bible says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you plant a seed coming from an orange and you're looking for a mango, I got some good news for you. You are going to get a harvest, but it's not going to be a mango. It's going to be an orange. So when you plant financial blessings in God's vineyard, you can only expect financial blessings from the vineyard of God. You get what you sow. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The tragedy today is that so many of us are believing God for prosperity, prosperity, prosperity. But my question to you and to anyone that will listen to this message, my question to you, what type of seeds are you planting in the ground and the harvest of God? If you're not planting it, how can you position yourself for prosperity? You know, we're in mango season. The beautiful thing about mango trees, especially when they are well mature, is that they often produce more mangoes. I don't care if you have a family like mine. All of us in my family, we love mangoes. If you got a mature tree, chances are it will produce more than what your family, even if you eat it every single day, it will produce more than what you can consume by yourself. So you find friends like your pastor, okay? You find neighbors and you begin to bless them and bless them and bless them and bless them and bless. Why? That's an example of God open up the windows of heaven and pour on you out a blessing more than what you can bear here on earth. So please remember that blessings, that when God gives you something, if you want it to come back twofold, 100-fold, 1,000-fold, you got to be willing to share it and give it to other folks. So we see a clear determination when it came down to his kingship, when it came down to how he was going to govern, how he was going to rule, that he purposed in his heart that as king now, I'm going to do everything that is right in God's eyes. So we see that deposit there. There's another chemical that he adds to the formula. See, this prosperity stuff, we have the wrong understanding. If God is the one that is giving it to us, we got to learn what is the formula. The next chemical that we find deposited in there, look with me at verse number 5. Look with me at verse number 5. It says, Hezekiah trusts in the Lord, the God of Israel, that you must be, there must be a determination for trust. You got to trust God. The scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. He'll make your pathway straight. So Nehemiah determined that as part of his rulership, as part of his kingship, that he's going to trust in God. So people of God, that's the other piece. It's really not that complicated. That you don't have to come to the altar and stand on your head all day long waiting on God to bless you. No, what you need to do, you need to put all of your trust in God. God, this is all that I have left, but I'm giving it to you. God, this is all that I have left. I'm not sure how I'm going to get through all of the other stuff, but I'm putting it in your hands. I'm putting it in your hands. You know, I remember back in the days coming out of the military, and the unemployment rate was like 16, 17 percent in the state of Florida. And I was living in Tallahassee at the time. There was no jobs. There was just no jobs available. But God gave me an idea. We lived in an apartment complex right outside of Florida A&M. And every week after the game, everybody would go out drinking. And they were drinking. They would throw these aluminum beer cans out on the swell of both sides of the street. And so I drove down there one day, and I saw like thousands of cans. Now, this is like 1982 sometime, okay? Different economy. And so God put in my thought, grab some trash bags, get out early in the morning, and collect all of those cans. I was unemployed at the time, living off unemployment. And so I went down both sides of the street, loaded the car up with cans, and I was able to take it to the aluminum place and get enough money to fuel my vehicle so that I can go and look for other jobs. You see, God says that your gifts and your talents will make room for you. And so I'm like, well, how am I going to be? I don't even have gas to go from point A to point B. How am I going to look for a job? They didn't have the internet, folks, back then. Back then, you had to go in person and say, are there any openings? That's how now, if you go in person saying there's any openings, they'll say, yes, there's some openings, but you got to do it online. Amen. Different time that we're in. But what God did, God provided a way of escape. God provided the means. And today, perhaps, God is providing the means for you to get to your place of prosperity. And you're missing God every single time. And I want to encourage you that God speaks in a small, still voice. And God is speaking and directing you in an area, but you're listening. You're not listening. You're not listening. You're not listening. And this is why so often God says the same thing over and over and over again. So he made a determination as part of his kingship that he's going to trust God. He was going to trust God. We find in John chapter 16, verse 33, the scripture said, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Who do we turn to when the going gets tough? It's God. So why is it that we struggle when things are going a little better? We struggle when God hands us a pie, a check. Why is it that we struggle and we forget that God is the one that has given it to us? The Bible talks about, in Luke 8 gospel, it talks about Jesus and his disciples. They were on a boat and this great storm came. And they found Jesus asleep at the head of the boat. And the disciples, they were wondering, well, with all of this movement back and forth, water coming into the boat, it looked like we're not going to make it. Why is it that he's still asleep? Shouldn't he be awake and concerned that we are about to drown? But the Bible says they woke him up. And Jesus is like, what's your problem? I'm on the boat with you. And God says to you today, what is your problem? I have already told you that greater is he that is within you than he that is within the world. I'm already with you. So what is God saying as God spoke in Hezekiah's life? He said, trust me. Formula for prosperity includes you got to trust. You say, well, Pastor, you don't understand. The chips are down. That's great. Why? Because you're almost at a point of your breakthrough. And you know, sometimes when things are going difficult, you always wonder, well, Lord God, is this it? Or will there be more? Because I feel like this is it. I feel like I can't take it no more. Let me also say this. God created us, and God knows how much you can take. You didn't create yourself. See, we think we know ourselves, but you really don't. Some of you think today that if God put $1 million in your hands, that you'll be faithful to God. But God already knows that if you put $1 million in your hand, that you'll be riding on South Beach right now in a red convertible BMW, just enjoying yourself and forgetting about God completely. He already knows that. So what, this is why you want to get to the point of asking God to create in you a clean heart, oh Lord. You want God to give you the right kind of heart. So when God bless you, when God takes you to the point of prosperity, that you'll do the right thing for Him. So we need to make a determination to worship. We need to make a determination to trust Him. To trust Him, and again, trust is a very a challenging piece because the kind of trust we have in each other is a little different than the kind of trust we have in God. Now, you may let me down again and again and again, and I may determine I ain't going down that road with you again. That's different. But God, that regardless how bad things may look, you keep trusting God. We looked early this year, we looked at the life of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and that bad Negro. We looked at their lives, and we discovered that one thing that was very significant about them is they did what? They had trust in God. So I want to challenge you today that because one of those formulas for your prosperity is your trust, your ability to trust, your ability to trust when you're on your back, your ability to trust when everything has gone upside down. So we looked at trust. We looked at putting all that we need in the Lord's hand, giving Him all of our worship. We looked at worship, we looked at trust. And thirdly, this is the final chemical here. This is the final piece of this formula here. Final piece of this formula is a determination to cling to God. To cling to God. I don't know if you ever had a problem dealing with lint. Well, lint, get on your clothes, and what lint does, it clings to the garment, and it ain't easy to get off. You need a special brush to get, in fact, I got some lint right here. You need a special brush to get that lint off. Why? Because it clings. It clings to the garment. And so Hezekiah, he was determined to cling to the Lord. He made a choice. He could have continued in the same vein as his father had, but he did not. He decided to cling to the Lord. Look with me at verse number six. The Bible said he held fast to the Lord and did not cease to follow Him. He held fast to the Lord. He fastened himself to the Lord. To the Lord, to the Lord. You want prosperity, but where are you in the Lord? You want prosperity. Where is your commitment to the Lord? You want prosperity, but you're not praying. You want prosperity, but you're not reading the Word of God. You want prosperity, but you don't come to church. You want prosperity, but you don't spend time meditating with God. But Nehemiah says that he cling unto the Lord. He fastened himself unto the Lord, and you can do the same thing. He made that a choice, and it was part of his determination. You see, there is something about being determined. You see, on Sunday mornings, you have to be determined to worship God, because there are so many other things that will come your way. Tuesday night, you got to be determined to make your way to God. There are so many things that will come your way. Saturday morning prayer, you have to be determined to be in the prayer room, because there are so many other things that will appear to be important that will come your way. But all of this is part of God's formula for prosperity. It's all spiritual. Now, let me make another point about prosperity. The rich people, they say, gets richer, and the poor people gets poor. Now, over the years, I have worked around big multi-billion dollar developers, and they continue to get richer. But what you find with a lot of rich folks is that they give. I mean, you have hospitals today that most of us here have benefited from. Some of those were built by wealthy people that gave $5, $10, $20 million to a hospital to build a new emergency wing, build a children's maternity ward. And you go into the hospitals, and I often go to the hospital, and I see all of these names of people that gave. And so the laws of the harvest, hear me very carefully, the laws of the harvest is not just for the spiritual folks, the Christians. The laws of the harvest, God's laws of the harvest, is for the entire earth. So although they have a lot, that when you look at their giving, they give. The Bible says, "To much is given, much is required." And so I say to you today, how much can God trust you with? Can God trust you with 10,000, 20,000, 30,000, 40? Can God trust you with it? But the challenge today, that perhaps whatever you got, God can't even trust you with it. So how are you going to graduate to prosperity if God can't trust you with the little or the much that you have? It all wraps up. It all comes from God. There is only one source for the whole world, regardless who will acknowledge him or not. And so whatever you got, it came from one source. If you're going to get the promotion, it's going to come from one source. If you're going to get the raise, it comes from one source. If you're going to get the house, it comes from one source. If you're going to get the mortgage modification, it comes from one source. If you're going to get the car loan approved, it comes from one source. If you're going to get accepted in a college, it comes from one source. If the marriage is going to work, it's going to work because of one source. And people of God, when we get to the point of understanding that there is only one source that governs our lives, then you understand the formula for prosperity. Purpose in your heart. Seek to outgive God. Because God has already said to us, he said, "I will never be your debtor." I will never be your debtor. He says, "I am no man's debtor." That you will never ever have an opportunity to look God in the face and say, "God, you owe me. I've done all this. You owe me." And so God has made it very clear that he would always be thousands and millions of steps ahead of you. I double dare you today to take God's formula for your life. I dare you to take God's formula for your life. Did you know that when it comes down to giving, that God has told us that this is the only area that you can test God? There's no other area you can give. Now, you can test your pastor, and I can test you, but you don't go around testing God. Well, God, I'm going to jump off of this building, and I'm going to see if you're going to catch me. Okay. No, you don't test God like that. Well, God, I'm going to buy this house, and I'm going to see if someone's going to show up tomorrow with all of the money I need to make the payments. No, you don't do that. But the Lord has told us that when it comes down to our financial seeds that he's given us, he's told us, put him to the test. Put him to the test. Put him to the test. The guy in the video clip, he didn't put God to the test. Again, because God was at the end of the line. People of God, God has so many treasures and stored up for you in heaven. It's for you. You don't want to get to heaven and say, God, and look in the treasure chest and God open it up and say, oh God, you had all of this for me. He said, yes, you wouldn't trust me. So today, perhaps someone here, you're just one formula away from the prosperity that God has for your life. In your worship, in your trust, in your ability to clean. Hezekiah's story and this formula closes when we see here, and the Lord was with him, and he was, one translation said, prosperous. NIV translation says, successful in whatever he undertook. Can you imagine whatever you get into, that whatever you put your hands to, it's going to be successful. It's going to be prosperous. That when that declaration, when God puts that declaration on you, you're bound to experience prosperity. Someone said there's an old saying about Midas, the mighty Midas, that whatever the mighty Midas touched, it did what? It turned to gold. And people of God, when you got the favor of God on your life because of your commitment and your determination to worship, your determination to trust, your determination to cling and fasten yourself unto God, the scripture says that God will allow you to prosper, that God would allow you to be successful. So here we've looked at the life of Hezekiah. That Hezekiah learned that God was looking for a place to hang out. God was looking for a house that he could call his favorite house. And a story is told of a very large man. Very large man. He was some 500 plus pounds and good person. He was in ministry, but he had so many embarrassing experiences. And so he would come to homes to visit. And part of his visit, every time he would sit in a chair, the chair would collapse. And it would be a very embarrassing moment for him. So he knew he had to continue in ministry, but his weight was very heavy. So when he would go and do visits at members' homes, he would spec out the room as he would come into the foyer, looking around, trying to find a safe place, a good place that he could sit. Because there was not too many seats that he could sit in and break. And so many that he would visit, they continue to say, "Pastor, have a seat. Pastor, no, I'm just going to be here just for a short period of time. Have a seat. We'd love for you to stay here." But he looked around and there was no place that he could sit because of all of his experiences. He was a big guy. But I want to say to you today that if God came to you right now, and he was looking for a place in your heart, will there be a place? Will there be a seat in your heart? Will there be a seat in your life for him to sit down? Will you have to say, "Come back. We need to clean up. Come back. We need to dust off the Bible a little bit. Come back. We need to get rid of some things because there's no special place for you today." Hezekiah, he made room in his life for the Lord. And as a result of that room being made in the life for the Lord, that he began to prosper. In fact, his reign is, you can't compare his reign with no other king, the Bible says, that came before him or after him. But his formula for prosperity and success found itself into his ability to trust God, his ability to cling to God, and his determination to worship God. And people, today, your prosperity can be found right in your decision to make God first and foremost in your life. A recipe or a formula for prosperity. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, today for the opportunity you have given us, Lord God, to just take a brief look into the life of Hezekiah. Oh, Lord God, a life, Lord God, that when he went before you, Lord God, you spared his life. And a life, Lord God, that allowed you to be put first and foremost in his life. And a life, Lord God, that allowed others to see you do and perform a beautiful work in his life. And Lord God, perhaps today, there's so many in here, Lord God, that lifted up their hands designed to experience the prosperity, Lord God, that you have for us, designed to experience the abundant life, Lord God, that you have for us, designed, Lord God, to experience, Lord God, all that you have to give to us while we're here on this earth. And so, Lord God, we're asking of you today, Lord God, that you would challenge our hearts, that we would worship you. We would worship you. Challenge our hearts, that we would trust you, that you challenge our hearts, that we would cling and fasten ourselves to you, Lord God. Burn it in our hearts, Lord God. Burn it in our hearts, Lord God, that whatever you have for us, Lord God, that we would experience it in this life. Oh, Lord God, we speak blessings and we speak prosperity over the church today, Lord God. Lord God, we pray, Lord God, for jobs and better jobs. Lord God, we pray today, Lord God, over the church raises and bonuses, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, not pink slips on the people of God, Lord God. But, Lord God, we pray that personnel transaction forms, Lord God, will come showing enhancements and increases in benefits. And Lord God, while we know that we are in these difficult times in our economy, but Lord God, one person once said that he's never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread, Lord God. And so, Lord God, I speak prosperity over the people of God. They've heard the formula for prosperity, Lord God. But Lord God, I'm trusting you to do a great work in their heart. But as their pastor, Lord God, I speak prosperity over them, Lord God. bring prosperity to the people of God. Bring blessings to the people of God, Lord God. We rebuke the devourer for their sake, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that the windows of heaven will be open and more blessings will be pouring out upon the church, upon the people of God, more than what they can bear. Oh, Holy Ghost of God, today I take every heart here, every life here, Lord God. Move in their life, Lord God. Knock down walls, kick in doors, Lord God. Oh, Holy Ghost of God, do something supernatural. Do something extraordinary, Lord God. Do something unbelievable, unconceivable to the minds of the people of God. Oh, Holy Ghost of God, blow our minds. Blow our minds. Blow our minds. Lord God, we know that you own a cattle over 1,000 hills, Lord God. We know that this earth is yours and the fullness thereof and all they that dwell in it. But Lord God, today we speak prosperity to the people of God. Lord God, we pray, Lord God, that every heart here would just simply say, prosperity is coming. Prosperity is coming in the name of Jesus. I've set my house in order, so prosperity is coming. That I make a covenant with God today. I make a commitment with God today that I am going to do what is required of me to allow prosperity to come into my house. Holy Ghost of God, do a great work, Lord God. Burn it in our hearts, Lord God. Burn it in our hearts to worship, to trust, and to cling to you. Burn it in our hearts. In the mighty, precious name of Jesus. Oh, Lord God, we pray today. We pray, Lord God, perhaps there is a heart here, Lord God, that's broken. Oh, Holy Ghost of God, we pray full restoration right now in the name of Jesus. We cover it with your blood. Full restoration right now in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord God, for a heart, Lord God, that have given up trust, given up their faith, Lord God. We pray full restoration right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we pray right now for the one that is dealing with great financial destitute, Lord God, that the wells appear to have gone dry. Oh, Lord God, we speak life right now back into that person in the mighty name of Jesus. We speak full restoration in the life of that person, that their faith in God would allow them to rise up and continue trusting in you, Lord God. Holy Ghost of God, right now, we all stand before you, Lord God. You bless many of us with jobs. You bless many of us with promotions. You bless many of us with finances, Lord God, that we've held back from you. We've not used it properly. And Lord God, we don't want it to be a curse. But Lord God, we want it to be a blessing, Lord God. So today, Lord God, we repent. We repent. All over this room, you repent in the name of Jesus. That God has blessed you with what you have. And you've held back. You've held back. You need to repent so what you have doesn't, that a curse is not put on it. And so, Lord God, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, do a great work in every heart here as we meditate. Just meditate in your presence, Lord God. Do something extraordinary right now, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to look at our resources, to grab all of our resources in our hands, Lord God. And help us, Lord God, to look at these resources and say, God, you've given it to me. You've given it to me. You've given it to me. And I thank you. But now, Lord God, that I'm asking you, Lord God, to give me the spiritual ability, Lord God, to distribute it as you would have me to do so. Take it, Lord God, and bless it. Take it, Lord God, and bless it. Every head bowed, every eye shut. I want everyone to just stand up. Just stand up right where you are. Just stand up right where you are. Just stand up right where you are. Everyone in the room, just stand up right now. Every head bowed, every eye shut. We're still in the presence.